It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning, isn't it? Amen. I heard one amen. Where was that amen? Thank you very much. Yeah. Folks have been, I don't know if I want to say cooped up. Some of you may have felt that. But my son came up from Florida, brought his little kids. And so we had some fun building this humongous snowman. It was humongous. And made a snow angel. Yeah, well, we need to get a picture of that. I think I mentioned the family this morning. How often do you see a 64-year-old guy make a snow angel? Not very often. Not in South Carolina, that's for sure. Yeah. Well, I want to mention, on the back table counter, there are calendars for 2018. If you don't grab one, well, they'll just get thrown out, and I saw those and wanted to grab one and mention that to you. Curtis, thank you for preaching last Sunday. Thank you very much. We have so many capable men who can step into the pulpit. We are blessed with so many teachers. All righty. I brought with me a fidget spinner. Oh, you've seen them, haven't you? I was out in back doing that, and Joel kind of perked up. Where you at, Joel? Yeah, kind of perked up. I said, did they let you have them in the school? Well, yes, they do at his school. How many young adults here would say, hey, not in my school, they're outlawed? Are they outlawed? Huh? You know, the danger of you start spinning, it goes off someplace. You all are looking at this, just wishing you could get your fingers on it, right? No? Not too many of you? Well, this really was one of the crazes last year as far as toys. And they're fun to have. They're fun. We bought one yesterday at Target. And it's interesting, you know, one of the things they promote these for is anxiety, stress. You know, you get a little stressed. Anybody use one for stress? Come on, you're almost ashamed. Yeah, there you go, Bobby. Thank you. Others probably do too. They're not willing to say anything. We were at Target, and the guy didn't have a fidget spinner. He had a little box, but it was the same thing. He brought it out. I actually worked with it. It had this switch. You went back and forth. These things you pushed on. It was like this cube, and you do that stuff for stress, for anxiety. He talked in terms of, you know, a customer who may upset him, and then he'll get that out kind of and work with it. Yeah. Stress, anxiety. Danielle, I showed you this morning, and you said you don't have one, and folks thought you maybe should. So here you go. Danny, would you run that back to Michelle, to Danielle? I always hate to give that up. They're a lot of fun. And I mentioned to you, I got that at Target, and it was on sale for like a dollar. I shouldn't tell Danielle. She thinks I gave it a great present, but like $1.50, something like that. Stress, anxiety. We're going to do a lot better than a fidget spinner this morning to learn about anxiety. We're going to turn to the Word of God. So open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Two verses, verses 6 and 7. And you can see that my message is titled, God's Prescription for Anxiety. So I would certainly love to see you all open your Bibles, get your notes out, grab a pen, because I'm convinced I'm speaking to a topic that you need to hear addressed. I need to hear it addressed. I am preaching to myself this morning as we look at this passage. And actually, whenever I preach, I think that's my mentality. I'm speaking to myself foremost. Anxiety is a big problem, a big issue in our culture. A huge issue. This is an article by Sean Egan titled, 8 Facts About Anxiety and Anxiety Disorders. Fact number 2, anxiety disorders are the most common mental illness in the United States. And let me say before I read on, I'm not totally comfortable with that terminology, mental illness, because I fear that it removes a sense of moral responsibility when we just think of it that way. And that would be a real, real, real mistake. But he says this, according to the Anxiety and Depression Association of America, 40 million Americans over the age of 18 are affected by anxiety. Roughly 18% of the nation's population. Of those 40 million people, almost 7 million of them suffer from what they call GAD, General Anxiety Disorder, with 15 million suffering from Social Anxiety Disorder, 14.8 million suffering from Major Depressive Disorder, and 7.7 million affected by Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder. So the numbers are huge, are they not? Absolutely huge. This is the headline of an article in Scientific America under mental health. 1 in 6 Americans takes a psychiatric drug. 1 in 6. Antidepressants were most common, followed by anxiety relievers and antipsychotics. So drugs being prescribed, so many people for their anxiety, their depression, different things are on drugs. Anxiety is a huge problem. In fact, let's just quick take a survey. If you struggle with anxiety, would you raise a hand? I think the rest of you are probably lying. I say that almost in all seriousness. I would put both of my hands up. I struggle with anxiety. I struggle with worry, with stress. And I think I'm cut out of the same cloth you are, and especially in our culture today. So let me retake that survey. Are you willing to be honest? How many of us here this morning struggle with anxiety? Yeah, we've got more hands up. You're probably anxious that I'll call on you if you don't put your hand up. Yeah, it's huge. I'm not just preaching to the choir here. I know you struggle, we struggle with anxiety. And so our passage this morning, the point I'm wanting to make is that our passage this morning is relevant. It's not like, hey, no big deal. It's a huge deal. It's where we find ourselves living. And so aren't you thankful that we can turn to God and His wisdom for dealing with an issue that's so prevalent in our midst, not just in the culture at large, but in the Church of Jesus Christ? Let's just be honest. This is an issue we struggle with, and we should just be thrilled to have the Word of God. So that's where we're at. We're addressing an issue from Philippians 4 that is so relevant. Well, let's get a little bit reacquainted with our passage. Let's talk a little bit about context, because you see we're in chapter 4, and if you look, that's the end. That's the last chapter, so we're coming to the end of Philippians, coming to the end of our study, and Paul is giving some concluding exhortations. Notice verse 4, the first of them, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Actually, two imperatives there, two commands. Rejoice in the Lord always. Paul rejoiced in the Lord. Paul rejoiced in the Lord. That's what chapter 3 is all about of Philippians, how he exalted, he gloried in who Jesus Christ was. Counted everything else but loss for laying hold of Christ. And he wanted those in Philippi to have that same joy. And then notice verse 5, the exhortation. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. So rejoice and let your gentle, kind spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. You don't have to always be pushing your agenda. You don't always have to be on hunt. You know, show some kindness, some gentleness to others because the Lord is near working out His purposes. In verse 6, Paul addresses anxiety. That's our passage for today. And I think probably because anxiety robs us as believers of our joy and our gentle spirit. Isn't that true? Come on, if we're anxious, we're losing our joy. Are we not? Come on, now talk to me. I'm all worked up. It's a new year. Yeah. Anxiety robs us of our joy. It robs us of our kindness, because if I'm all wrapped up in my concerns, I'm not going to be concerned about yours. I've got my own I'm worrying about, right? Right? Come on. Yeah. I've got here, I want to add that joy and gentleness and peace, and these are the exhortations in our passage, they're all the result of knowing God. I want to make that emphasis, because that's where we're going to end also, with that emphasis, because you see, it's when we know who our God is and have a vibrant relationship and a growing relationship, well, then we can have joy. Because where does joy come from? What does Paul say? Rejoice in the Lord always. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. Why? Because the Lord is near. Do away with anxiety. Why? Why can we have peace? Because we can have this peace that comes from God. So we need to clearly see, this is so important, that really these things come out of a relationship with God. And it's so easy, in a sense, for me to say that. It's another thing for us to live there, is it not? That our God is so big that we can live life with this joy. We can live life with this gentleness. We don't have to be anxious people. We can have a peace. Because why? Because my God is so great. All right, let's read our verses. Just two of them. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Our outline, right from the passage, there are two commands. The first command is be anxious for nothing. So anxiety has to go. The second command is let your request be made known to God. So this goes, this is to replace it, and then there's a promised result. The peace of God will reside in your hearts and in your minds. So that's our outline, just right straight from our passage. Two commands and the promise if we obey them. And the first command is this, be anxious for nothing. It's a command. I've already said that. It's a present tense active imperative. Why do I like to tell you what the command is, what we're working with? Because it tells us that we are responsible to deal with the anxiety in our life. All right? The imperative, it's a command. It's a present tense. It's an ongoing dynamic. It's active. It's my responsibility. It's your responsibility to deal with the anxiety in your life. You're commanded to. And it's interesting that nothing, as you see it there in that command, is actually the first word in the Greek sentence. And in the Greek language, that brings emphasis to that term. So it really starts out, nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Nothing. Be anxious for nothing. The bar is getting set pretty high, isn't it? Let me take my survey again. How many struggle with anxiety? But the bar is really high. Anxious is the Greek word metamormao. And it means to be troubled with cares. To be troubled with cares. I Googled it in. Well, what do we come up with when we Google anxious in? And don't get your phone out and do this. You need to be careful even saying, hey, Googling something, because some of you are immediately maybe going to grab your phones and I'm going to check. This is what you come up with, anxious. It's an adjective. Let me read under number one there. Experiencing worry, unease, or nervousness, typically about an imminent event, something with an uncertain outcome. She was extremely anxious about her exams. But you know what's interesting about the term anxious? All the synonyms. What are there? Maybe 30 of them? Worried, concerned, uneasy, apprehensive, fearful, perturbed, troubled, bothered, disturbed, distressed, disquieted, fretful, agitated, nervous, edgy, antsy, unquiet, on edge, tense, overwrought, worked up, keyed up, jumpy, worried, sick, with one's stomach in knots, with one's heart in one's mouth. Anybody getting edgy as I'm reading all these? Informally, it means uptight, on tenderhooks, with butterflies in one's stomach, trepidatious, jittery, twitchy, in a tither, in a lather, in a tizzy, het up, strung out, having kittens, antsy, spooked, and squirrely. All of those synonyms help us understand anxiety. Do they not? It's kind of like, oh, all right, that's what it means to be anxious. And we probably have used many of those synonyms in describing how we feel. But I think of interest also is the fact that knowing there are so many words used to describe anxiety helps us understand it's a really big problem. You know, it's not like, hey, it's just a word and there's only a few synonyms. It's like, look at all of these terms, these synonyms used to describe anxiety, what we struggle with. It's like, wow. Well, what kind of things do we get anxious over? I'm actually causing some of you to get anxious even as I'm talking about all these things. Come on. But what kind of things do we get anxious over? Our health. Right, are the health of those we love, finances, having enough money to pay the bills, to keep the heat on in this cold snap, right? Am I going to be able to pay my SE&G bill with all of this cold weather? Finances, children in school, how do I pay their bills? Marriage, we're going to be anxious over our marriages, maybe challenges we're having, our children. How many parents would raise their hand and say, yeah, that's a good source of anxiety for me. Yeah. Retirement. Diane and I are talking about retirement. In fact, she can tell you how many days left she has before she retires. How many, Diane? Three. She's not going to say it. She'll raise three fingers, and two of them this week. She had five, but with the weather, she didn't work 2 days, so. But retirement, right? The financial aspects of retirement. There, or how about local and national politics? Right? Come on. Or how about geopolitics? Are we going to have a nuclear exchange? Huh? I mean, that's been in the talk all in the news consistently. Us and North Korea. Trump versus what's the guy's name? Okay. Yeah. There's somebody who's anxious over it. Good. That's a good way. It's the answer, isn't it, Jack? And the list could go on and on. Well, why is anxiety so bad? And I'm using the term bad. I'm tempted to use the term sinful. All right? We soften some of these things. Well, anxiety's bad. But I think as we see this command, we're not to be anxious. So if we're anxious, wouldn't we call that probably sin? In most cases, I'm not saying there aren't some reasons. There may be some reasons that we wouldn't trace it back to sin, but usually, wouldn't you agree with me, it's probably a sin issue. Yeah. Why is anxiety so bad? First and foremost, because it dishonors God. Anxiety dishonors God. It reflects poorly on who He is. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. And so when we're anxious, it evidences we really don't think God cares about us. Doesn't it? I know I'm sounding really hard on us, calling anxiety sin and saying it reflects poorly on God. But if we live our lives with a lot of anxiety and we tell people, you know, I got a great and glorious God, somehow there's a disconnect, isn't there? Hey, help me out here. I mean, there's a disconnect. Yeah. So anxiety dishonors God. A second reason it's so bad is it results in health issues. All kinds of health issues come from anxiety. What do they say about being worried? I'm worried sick. Right? I mean, that's what we say. I'm worried sick. There's stomach ailments, headaches, insomnia, high blood pressure, muscle tension. Right? We've all experienced those things, or some of them. Why is anxiety so bad? Reason number three is it prevents us from being our best. It just takes the life out of us. Prevents us from ever accomplishing all it is God has for our lives. Anxiety does. It strangles us. This is what Warren Wiersbe says. The Greek word translated worry means to be pulled in different directions. Our hopes pull us in one direction, our fears pull us in the opposite direction, and we are pulled apart. The old English root of the word means to strangle. If you have ever worried, you know how it does strangle a person. In fact, worry has definite physical consequences, headaches, neck pains, ulcers, even back pains. Worry affects our thinking, our digestion, and even our coordination. Worry strangles us. Anxiety strangles us. Because, come on, if I'm anxious over my concerns, it's hard for me at times to exercise my spiritual gifts and help others out, right? Because I'm just concerned about my lives. And so it prevents us from ever accomplishing or not accomplishing as we should what God has called us to do because we let fear prevent us from entering into those things. Anxiety is bad. It strangles us. It strangles relationships. Oh. And so the command, be anxious for nothing. Don't be anxious. Now, it's easier for me to get up here and say that than for it to go out and be done, is it not? You can go ahead. I'll ask you for a show of hands on that. You'll all put your hands up. It's like, yeah, you can talk about it, Pastor Joel, but it's easier to talk about than it is to deal with. And I'll grant you that. Because I struggle with anxiety. I'm learning to struggle and deal with it correctly. Yeah. So let's look at our second command. Let's get some answers. We're ready for some answers, aren't we? We're ready for some answers. But in everything, so put off anxiety, and this is what it needs to be replaced with, everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And so the second command in our passage, let your requests be made known to God. So what are we to do with our anxious thoughts and our concerns? We're commanded to tell them to God. And to do so with what? Thanksgiving. We're to take our concerns, we're to take our anxious thoughts about those concerns to God in prayer, and we're to do so with thanksgiving. Oh, it's hard for me to be thankful because I'm anxious. Well, it's important to be thankful as we talk to God about our anxiety, as we thank Him for who He is and what He's up to, because you see, all of a sudden we're beginning to corral those anxious thoughts and put them where they need to be. Can I hear an amen? Can I hear an amen? Yeah. What does a prayer like this sound like? Well, let me just give you a hypothetical prayer. I just wrote this up. God, I'm anxious about my health. I am so concerned about my health. I've had this headache for 3 months. I've been to a doctor's 2 or 3 times. I've had tests taken, and they can't give me any answers. God, I am anxious about this. God, would you give me, please, wisdom? Would you renew my spirit because my spirit is so disturbed? Would you renew my spirit? Would you restore my health? And God, in the midst of all this, I want to thank you. I claim Romans 8 for my life, that your spirit is interceding for me. And thus you are working all things together for my good as you transform me into the image of Jesus Christ. And God, I praise you that I can be confident that if you did not spare your own Son in bringing about my salvation, then you will withhold no good thing from me. Oh God, in the midst of all this, I want to praise you. And God, I thank you for the hope of the gospel. That even if all of this, and I know I'm getting all carried away with it, but even if all of this brings about my death, I can say with the Apostle Paul from Philippians 2, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I think that's the exact kind of prayer that Paul is calling for in our passage. Bringing to God what concerns us, crying out to Him, and then in all of that, having this praise and thanksgiving. Now, let me give you a biblical example. Turn to Psalm 57. We're just wanting to look at this idea. Well, I'm supposed to pray. Well, what does this prayer look like? I gave you one that just I kind of just wrote up that I think reflects the kind of prayer. But Psalm 57, David is fleeing from Saul, and he's hiding out in a cave. Does David have reason to be anxious? Talk to me now. Let's put some flesh on this passage. David has reason to be anxious as he's hiding from Saul, who's pursuing his life, and he's hiding in a cave. That's what the superscription tells us. And so he's dealing with his anxiety. And notice his prayer. Notice what he writes. Be gracious to me, O God. Be gracious to me. For my soul takes refuge in you, and in the shadow of your wings I will take refuge. Now, where is he hiding out physically? In a cave. But what does he declare here? Where ultimately is his hope found? In the shadow of your wings. Until destruction passes by, I will cry to God Most High, to God who accomplishes all things for me. He will send from heaven and save me. He reproaches him who tramples upon me. Selah. God will send forth his loving kindness and his truth. My soul is among lions. I must lie among those who breathe forth fire. Even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows. Evidently hiding in this cave, knowing that they're out there pursuing his life. Their tongue is a sharp sword. Be exalted above the heavens, O God. Let your glory be above all the earth. That's the key thought in the psalm. As in the midst of his circumstances, and he'll restate it in verse 11, he says, be exalted above the heavens, O God. Let your glory be above all the earth. Ultimately, in all of this, David wants to see God glorified in and through his life. Wow. He continues on, they have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They dug a pit before me. They themselves have fallen into the midst of it. My heart is steadfast, O God, my heart is steadfast. Oh, isn't that great? Isn't that great? I am anchored on who you are in the midst of these difficulties and my anxiety and all that I'm dealing with. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises. Awake, my glory. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. Isn't that great? He says, I want to awaken the dawn with my praise. Bring out my instruments and sing praises to God. When are the two times that we struggle the most with anxiety? When we get up in the morning. I do. When I get in the shower. And have to work that my thoughts don't run in bad directions. That's one place for me, and another place for all of us is probably when we go to bed at night, isn't it? Yep. And that's when we tend to be anxious. Those are those times. And so here David is saying, boy, and I open the morning and I sing, and I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. It's not just private praise and thanksgiving, it's public praise and thanksgiving. I will sing praises to you among the nations. Maybe an idea here is just the fact that if you're discouraged and anxious, don't go be by yourself. That's the tendency, isn't it? But it's best to be in the house of God with the people of God declaring the praises of God. Is it not? Is it not? Well, we tend to isolate ourselves when we're anxious, and that's not the answer. Because we'll just, in that context, often let our thoughts run with us. And here, I'll give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I'll sing your praises to you among the nations. For your loving kindness is great to the heavens and your truth to the clouds. Be exalted above the heavens, O God. Let your glory be above all the earth. A repeat of verse 5. And so what do we see here from David? There's this crying out. There is this declaration of needs, and he states it so poetically. But then there, in the midst of all of that, there's this declaration of praise and thanksgiving. Oh, be exalted. Verse 5, verse 11, be exalted above the heavens, O God. Let your glory be above all the earth. Wow. Our passage has three parts. First one is what? A command to do what? Put off anxiety. put it off. Well, then what do I do with it? What do I do with it? And Paul's answer is you need to talk to God about it with praise and thanksgiving. And I tried to give you a couple of examples. One I just wrote up, but one we see from the life of David. Well, what does that prayer look like? What does that kind of prayer look like? Well, we know what it looks like. Yeah. And so then we want to lay hold of the promise of peace. Paul continues on. He says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension." It's like this is just too good to believe. "Will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And so when we take our anxious thoughts and turn them into prayers, and that's what Paul is calling for, is he not? Take your anxious thoughts, turn them into prayers with thanksgiving, you will obtain your promise, the peace that comes from God. A peace, Paul says, that's even hard to imagine, that it will surpass your comprehension. And it is a peace, he says, which is going to guard your mind and your heart in Christ Jesus. Because you see, it's our minds and our hearts that need to be guarded. Our minds, I think, speaks of our thoughts. Our hearts, I think, speaks of more of our emotions. And anxiety, what happens with anxiety is our minds and our emotions run wild. And they have to be corralled. And that's what our prayers with thanksgiving do. In fact, I've got, how does all of this practically work? Because maybe you're asking that question. This seems in some ways so simple. And yes, there's a simplicity to it, but don't dismiss it. Don't say, boy, I have to have something more complex. I'm going to go to the world for some of its answers because they're oftentimes, you know, they're more complex and they know what they're dealing with. I would beg to differ. Amen? If you're convinced of the authority of God's Word for our lives. So how does all of this practically work? Let me suggest two ways. I think one, and I'm just going to state this very simply, our prayers unleash the grace of God into our lives through the activity of His Holy Spirit. And I'm just talking about something that's very subjective here. But the Spirit of God indwells us. And as we cry out to God, I think the Spirit of God, and one of the fruits of the Spirit, He ministers to our spirit a peace. And I'll say for my life, even like when I'm standing in the back and we're doing praise and worship, Curtis will tell you, my hands are often up. But it's when we do praise and worship that, wouldn't you declare that the Spirit of God ministers to your spirit as you're declaring the glory of who our God is? That's what I'm talking about. There's a subjective sense to it. There's a very subjective dynamic. It's relational. Idea number two, how does this all practically work? I put off my anxiety. I pray with thanksgiving. How do I get a peace out of that? I've already said this, but anxiety is letting our thoughts run wild. Our emotions run wild. You just think about that. That's what happens. I'm anxious, and so my thoughts, right? They're just kind of running off with things. My emotions enter into it all, and all of a sudden, you know, I'm fit to be tied. Our thoughts can go like this. Say with a headache. I use that illustration of a headache. My head hurts. I've had this for 3 months. I've been to the doctors. You know doctors are no good. You know that, don't you? I mean, I've been to the doctors several times, and I've had all these tests, and doctors do not know what they're doing. If they don't get to the end of this, I'm probably going to be incapacitated. I'm going to be out of work in the next 6 months. I'm going to lose my job. I'll probably be dead in a year. And if I die through all this, who's going to take care of my wife? And I have 3 children. This is really, whatever you want to say. But is it not true? What I just demonstrated, isn't that how our thoughts run? I know they do. I've been there. Have you been there with me? Come on, now talk to me. I want to engage you in this. There's that realization that's what happens. Our thoughts, it's like, how did I end up here? I find myself there. I found myself there sometimes when I pray. It's kind of like I'm praying for the missionaries, right, in Africa, and then I'm thinking of the kind of monkeys that they have in Africa, and then I'm thinking of a movie I saw with monkeys. right? Come on now, you bend there. And that's the way it is with our anxiety. It just runs wild with us. It just takes off. And we can even have an anxiety attack. It's like, it's the end of the world. But when we turn to God in prayer with thanksgiving, when we put our thoughts on who He is, Paul is telling us then our hearts and our minds are going to be guarded. They will not run wild because our hearts and our minds are focused on who our God is and all we have in Jesus Christ. And I think it's beyond ability to be letting our mind run in this direction while we're also thinking of these things. You've got to make a choice. And that's where what it comes down to. Where am I going to put my focus? What am I going to focus on in the midst of this? I've got a choice. It's your responsibility. Paul says that. The command is given to us. Don't be anxious. Cry out to Him with thanksgiving. And that's why thanksgiving is so important. I'm not just talking to Him, because it's easy when we talk to Him about these things, then our mind is often racing again, isn't it? So we need to throw in a lot of thanksgiving, and we need to start praying Scripture and the promises of Scripture. And our circumstances probably or may not change, but our perspective does. And all of a sudden, there is this peace which passes all comprehension. And I'll speak for myself. I've lived there, and it works. Now, that isn't why you apply Scripture, because it works for me. You apply Scripture because it's God's Word. And it will work, because it is God's Word. But I'll testify. Testify! Let's have somebody testify. I'll testify. It works. Interesting illustration of this comes from the life of David and Goliath. What a contrast. You just think about this, and you have thought about this. What a contrast between Israel and its army, these trained soldiers, and David. Right? What a contrast. Goliath steps forward. He's taunting them and their God, and cursing them by his God, evidently, calling for somebody to come out. And I'm going to conjecture that those in the army of Israel were a bit anxious. Can I hear an amen? You're not all convinced? All right, they're not going to step forward. They're living with fear, which is close to anxiety, isn't it? I mean, the same kind of idea, they overlap. And along comes this teenage shepherd boy. And he says, I'll go out. Slap me. I mean, this is just amazing, isn't it? And what does he say? They meet on the field of battle. And we read, then the Philistine came up and approached David with the shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy with a handsome appearance. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine also said to David, come to me, and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the sky and the beasts of the field. And David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name... Oh, how do you think he said this? I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, who you have taunted. This day the Lord is going to deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you. And I'm going to give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know there is a God in Israel, and that all His assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands. Why does David have courage? Step forward when all the others, from what I can tell by reading the story, all the others step back in fear and anxiety. It's because David knew his God. And he was a teenager. That's what he says, isn't it? I'll step forward because I've seen God work in my life in the past, and I believe He'll work again. Daniel 11:32, they who know their God will be strong and do exploits. They who know their God will be strong and do exploits. They'll be the ones who step forward. And it isn't that we don't have to continually deal with our anxiety. You know, I think it's a process. Wouldn't you agree with me that it's a process? It isn't like, okay, I heard one sermon on it. I've got it now. I'm done with anxiety. I don't think so. It hasn't worked that way with me. But I'll tell you, the more I've grown in my understanding of who my God is, that has helped me deal with anxiety. Yeah. And in fact, back to Philippians 4, where does Paul take all of this? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace that comes from God, it surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I started out saying it. I'll conclude saying it with a little bit of application here. But it's about knowing who our God is. That's what is the antidote for anxiety. That's God's prescription. You get to know me, how great and glorious I am, and you'll come a long way in life dealing with anxiety. Can I hear an amen? Yeah. Wow. Application, what do we do with this? Because we've got to ask that. What do we do with it? Let me give you five quick applications. Number one is confess your anxiety and the fact that it's wrong and it's sin. I think that's where we start. Let's just call it what it is. Let's quit making excuses for our anxiety. I'm good at that. You know, you talk about your circumstances. If anybody was in my circumstances, they would be anxious too, preacher. Well, I think I can recall Paul and Silas sitting in a dungeon in the city of Philippi, singing praise to God and praying in the midst of their very difficult circumstances. Can I hear an amen? Yep. So it starts with confession. It does, acknowledging. Instead of fudging over, there are certain things, boy, we're real quick as the Church of Jesus Christ to identify that sin. That is wrong. Adultery or sexual immorality, that's sin. But when it comes to things like this, anxiety, well, we just kind of accept it, don't we? Don't we? Come on. And we just need to quit accepting it and saying, look, I'm going to call it what it is. And then I've got here, confess your wrong ways of dealing with it. Your wrong ways, my wrong ways of dealing with it. There's all kinds of wrong ways culture says to deal with our anxiety. Aren't there? I mean, there's all kinds of ways out there because it's such a huge issue. And we can get sucked into all of those things thinking, you know, this is the answer to my anxiety. And we turn our back on the Word of God, the clear teaching of God's Word. Application, what can we do? Well, Paul is saying pray with thanksgiving. So let's don't leave that out. We pray. What do we do? Idea number three is we memorize this passage, Philippians 4, 4 through 11. I mean, memorize other passages and be able to recall them. I've said this, and I know I'm redundant in saying it, but for me at night, when I tend to get anxious, if I wake up, Scripture memorized is huge. Right? It's just I can call on that and bring my thoughts back where they need to be. So memorizing Scripture is a big part of it. I've got here, take note of the times and places you tend to be anxious and place reminders. There are certain times we all struggle with certain sins, I believe. Besetting sins, if it's anxiety, it may be in the morning, when you get up in the morning. It is for me. I'll get up and the first thing I do is make a pot of coffee. Amen? Can I hear an amen on that? Yep, and then I'll climb in the shower. And it's easy for the demands of the day to grab hold of our thoughts, right? And you're thinking of all the problems you have to solve, and how is this going to work out? And I'm learning, Joe, you need to corral those thoughts. This is not healthy. This is not good. So those times, and maybe put a note on it. Maybe you use waterproof ink and you start sticking notes in the shower. Pin them there might be the best way. It's kind of like, look, I'm going to put my thoughts here. And you may laugh and like, oh, come on, whatever. I think that's practical wisdom. I am talking practical wisdom here. Because we're looking for some big answer, and it's in the everyday type of stuff of life that we find the answers. And then finally, I've got here, you may need to talk to somebody to just sort all the things through that you're anxious about. And we've got Tim here and Ron and Sherry with the Counseling Center, others who help out there. You can give me a call. Gladly sit down. And all right, let's talk about some of these things. But there are people who work with these kind of things on a regular basis that can bring a lot more than you've heard this morning. Yeah. All right. That's it. That's the end of my notes right there. Very applicable passage, isn't it? I'm preaching to myself. I know that. But if the statistics I brought to us bear out for the most of us, I think we all struggle with anxiety, so our passage is so relevant, and it's applicable. It's not like, boy, you took us to the moon and back. This is rocket science. I can't ever do this. Well, yes, we can. We can confess it, acknowledge it. We can turn to God in prayer with thanksgiving, and then we can look for Him to work as we corral our thoughts and put them where they need to be and find ourselves more and more rising up like a David, willing to challenge the Goliaths in our lives. Right? Come on. And all of a sudden, this thing that would strangle the life out of us no longer does. And I'm not saying it's a quick fix. It's not a quick fix. It's something we work at and grow in and grow in. And all of a sudden, we find that, you know, I'm not the same person I was at the beginning of 2018. I'm a lot happier. I have a lot more joy in my life. I don't worry near as much as I used to. Oh, and people even notice it. Father, we give You praise. Your Word is living and active. And Father, we need the activity of Your Spirit now through Your living Word to work in our lives further, because we could leave here and because we're anxious about things this week, we forget about all this stuff. All of a sudden, the very lesson that should transform us, how we deal with anxiety, our anxiety just strangles it right out of us. Oh, we're so in need of Your grace and Your favor, and we thank You that it abounds. It abounds. We stand in Your grace. We cry out. I cry out for my life. Father, I'm preaching to myself. Father, we thank You for the communion table. We're going to the communion table now. As we glory in who Jesus is, and as we read in Romans 8, that He who spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not also with Him freely give us all things? Father, the communion table should speak to our anxiety, should shout at it, and make very clear that You care, You love us. And Jesus' resurrection from the dead demonstrates Your power to act. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.